Blog Talk Radio.
Time is now 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that means you are tuned in to the Soul Sessions Radio Show right here on the Flavor News Radio Network. Yes, my name is Dwayne Austin, and as usual, I got a good show lined up for you. My guest tonight, singer-songwriter Morris Allen, will be hanging out with us at the 10:30 mark to talk about his new, well, I'm not sure if he actually has released it yet, but his project is called The Love Sessions. We're going to check out a couple of tracks from that, and we're going to see what else he's got going on. He mentioned earlier in the week that he has a lot of announcements to make, so, you know, if you are a Morris Allen fan, then I hope you are listening tonight, because he got some good news for you. Let's see. I'm kind of amped right now. My Orioles have finished crushing the Boston Red Sox 9-1. That was a really good game. I mean, they pretty much got most of those runs in the first inning. It was incredible. The bats were hot. There was a grand slam involved. It was just good baseball tonight. They played really well, and I'm proud of them. The magic number for them is 3, so, you know, I'm really rooting for them to finish out strong. They got 90 wins. I haven't seen them have 90 wins since the last time they made the playoffs, which is in 1997. But anyway, I digress. I'm going to get right into this music. I'm going to lead this off with a little something that I'm dedicating to a friend of mine, a Twitter buddy of mine, who's hanging out with me for the first time tonight here on the Soul Session Show. That's my good friend, Honey Red. Twitter friend, Honey Red, this one is for you, and this is how we're going to kick this off. You are tuned in to Soul Sessions.
I know that I'm only one of about a million brothers who admires your beauty. So tell me, what does it take to make you mine?
Thank you.
what happens between us. I need you to make me this one promise.
Someday.
Can you do that for me? Promise never to make love to me like it's a chore. To stay present in my liquid rose cream filling orange aura. This is the feeling more. Spend more time loving me to perfection. Surpass the real. Reeling in reels of pleasure, enjoying watching the aftermath so we can learn how to please each other better. I won't spend my time wrapped up in you, because it's better when you're in me. So deep our brainwaves collide. So fuck me like you don't know me, and make love to me, leaving no part of me untouched. Consume my every molecule till my DNA reconstruct as blueprints for symphonies of old gods and Jesus. Like Moses, our exodus to the promised land, creating new praises for his creativity. Petrified wood wrapped in velvet papyrus, pushing into time. I knock the nose off the sphinx and I won't apologize. Put a smirk on Mona Lisa's face and I will not apologize. Shook the foundation under Pisa as we rippled back and forth like worship services, serving up heat and lunar eclipses that curve into the moon. The entire universe unbuckled as I buckled under the pressure of chiropractic strokes that slit disc and drive vertebrae into sagittal sutures. You want to be present in this class forever. Changes daily. You need all your tools and then some. So come on, with inside me, throbbing in the pulsating grip of the cure for ADD. Collapse on me, breathing and sink in a puddle of evaporating love, transcending new molecular form. Rest while I blow life into Lazarus's tomb. Resurrecting you from Pluto to Uranus until you beg for me. I promise never to make love to you like it's a chore. I'll be your queen and your whore. Tease, ride, lick your most sensitive places until you can't breathe. Can't even remember your own fucking name. So pull, tug, bite, flex your face into sides of you I don't know. Ravishing relinquishment of self-control, savagely jolt beneath me as I push you past this release, whispering, "Welcome to the prelude."
Thank you.
Lay back and relax.
Yeah, that's still one of my favorite cuts right there. That was Rahsaan Patterson with Spend the Night. Before that, Something Out of the Vaults, Guy with Peace of My Love. I know everybody that's around my age remembers that song. Before that, we had the talented spoken word artist Sabrina Gilbert with Promise, featuring Mika, who I will have here on the show, I believe. Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's right here in front of me. Actually, I don't have it listed, but I'm working on that. I'm in talks to get her on the show, so look out for that. For that was Ronnie Song, and that's spelled R-A-H-N-I. So, name of that song was entitled Star the Story, which is actually a remake. I can't remember who does the original, but I didn't know that actually until I heard this version. So, you know, on the vocals of that song is a very talented singer by the name of Chanel Hampton. Before that, we had Miss Nick West with Eyes Closed, and we let off that set with Low Key, another track out of the vaults with Hey There, Pretty Lady. I got a little story about that song there. That was one of the first CDs I ever bought. And actually with my own money anyway. And I got that out of a pawn shop. I got about 5 CDs for about $20. And that was one of the CDs. And Low Key is, the name says it all. A lot of people don't even remember them when they were actually out. But they had that song. What was the name of that song? I Got a Thing For You. I know y'all guys at least got to remember that one. But Hey There, Pretty Lady was the slow jam track off of that. It's probably one of 2 slow jam cuts off of that. But that's my favorite song off that CD. Anyway, as I stated at the top of the show, my guest tonight, Mr. Morris Allen. If you were listening a few weeks ago when I had Terry Tobin on the show, he actually called in and joined in on the conversation with us. They have a duet out, and, it's a real nice cut. I'm going to probably play that tonight, but, you know, it's all about him. He has a CD coming out, if it's not out already. It's called The Love Sessions, and as always, we'll play a few tracks from that. And it's going to be a real nice conversation. And I'm a rag on him about going to Hawaii, too, because, you know, who doesn't want to go to Hawaii? So I'm a little envious of that. But it's all good. I'm waiting on him to get in the phone lines. So while I do that, I'm going to go ahead and play another cut for you. Let's see here. Let's see. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? You know what? Yeah, let's pull another one out of the vaults. Check this out.
Thank you.
Man, I'm telling you, that's good music right there. If you can't appreciate Rick James and Smokey Robinson, you need to just close your ears or something because, yeah, like I said, that's good music. But anyway, my guest is on the line, so let's go ahead and bring him in. Please help me give a warm welcome to Mr. Morris Allen.
Hello, Mr. Austin. Hello, everybody.
Welcome back, brother. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. I told you. I told you you had to come back. When you were here, I told you you had to come back. So, there you go.
Definitely that.
For sure, for sure. So, yeah, man, what's going on with you?
I was trying to call in a couple of minutes earlier, but as a musician and as an artist, you hear something that catches your ear, and it kind of like stopped me. And I was like, oh, I got to listen to this. So I listened to the whole thing, and now I'm hooked on the song. So I hurried up and downloaded it, put it in the phone, and I said, I'll be able to listen to it when I get done. So I'm always trying to listen, I'm always trying to catch up on a lot of music that I haven't heard in a while or things that I haven't been privy to. This record in particular just caught me. So I was just like really in a moment. I was like, let me get on this radio show. Now, like, I got to talk to people.
I hear that. What's the song, though? You know, you can't tell me that and not tell me what the song is.
Well, actually, it's Chris Brown. It's a new record. Yep. He released a new single called Don't Judge Me. And I heard the thing that caught me was production, because I'm a production junkie. So I love it when somebody actually does a record that allows the artist or the writer or both to come in and really service the song and give it what it needs. And some of the lyrics that's in that record is just incredible. Shout out to the production company called The Messengers. But the record is incredible. Incredible record. So I'm putting them on my list of producers to work with. So Messengers, look out for me.
I hear that. Yeah. Hey, so speaking of which, you know, for those who may have been under a rock, or, you know, those out there, because the one thing about, you know, my show is, you know, someone has never heard of something before. So, you know, for those individuals, could you tell them a little bit about yourself?
Sure. The short version of it, I was born and raised in Pennsylvania in a small town called Johnstown.
Yeah, I know Johnstown.
You know Johnstown? Okay. Oh, wow. Somebody knows Johnstown. Thank God. But, small town. Come from a small family. My mom is comes from a bigger family, so we have a lot of family that primarily was music fans. A lot of the family members sang and things of that nature. And, you know, long story short, from the time I was a baby, I think I sang before I talked. And my mom and my dad just immersed me into a lot of different styles of music. My mom, primarily because she was in church, put me around a lot of church and a lot of gospel music. And my father, who wasn't in church like my mom was the one that kind of introduced me to, you know, Donny Hathaway, Stevie Wonder, Earth, Wind & Fire, things of that nature. So those influences formulated what you hear now from me vocally and musically. I've just been someone that just likes to write, and the short end of the story is that my records, when submitted, were too good. So I had someone actually let me know. He said, well, I think you should release the records yourself, because the reason why people aren't taking these records is because I really believe you should release these records, because no one's going to be able to sing in the way you're doing it. And I didn't think right. Nothing of it, but, you know, the more I heard that from other people, it was like, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and put the record out and see what happens. And I just started recording, you know, what is now The Love Sessions, which is the new album that will be dropping in October. And just talking about love and putting out a musical tapestry that's not like everything you hear now, but it's a harken back to what we used to hear. You know, just, you know, I love some of the stuff that's out now, but I also love the older stuff that just basically, you know, told a story. Not only told a story musically or lyrically, but musically as well, to where you don't hear harmony stuff like you used to back in the day. So it's just a different take on what you would hear now. So it's like I'm really excited about the record. The responses on a few of the records have been incredible. who just released You Make Me Say as a single, featuring Dame Luke, who's from the D.C. area. Actually, he's a rapper from D.C., but he's out here in Arizona. That single is doing very well on iTunes, CD Baby, and Amazon.com. And we're looking forward to the next single. Actually, it's a record that I have sent you that no one has heard yet, actually called These Feelings. It's going to be the next single to drop from the project. And that's from a producer out of the UK by the name of Silky. He works with the Blue Bill. But just looking forward to dropping this, you know, this record, as well as an EP called Ready for Love that's going to come out following that within a few weeks. And just, you know, just infiltrating the market with some really good music. I think it's time for some really good, and it's primarily R&B, so it's really good R&B record that just makes you feel good and talks about love in a way that we need to hear it, and not so much just about, you know, a love of superficial things, but this is talking about real love, you know, love in hard times, love when it's, you know, when it's great, when it's not, when it's just starting, when it could be ended, and it's just some really good music, so that's kind of me in a nutshell.
I feel you. Now, I want to make sure that I get this right. Now, the Love Sessions, that's not the album that's dropping in October.
That is the album dropping in October. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I wanted to make sure I got that right. Because I wasn't sure when you sent it to me, I wasn't sure if that was upcoming or if that was an EP that had already been dropped. And, I just wanted to
that
make
was
sure.
We were actually waiting because I wanted to see what response would be like on the records, and response exceeded past our expectations. So I wasn't going to drop it until we were looking at the top of next year. But I was getting inundated by Facebook and Twitter message-wise about, you know, where can I get this record? Oh, my God, my girl loves it. Oh, my God, my parents love it. Oh, my God. Like, a lot of people were hitting us up about the records, and it was just overwhelming. So we were just like, well, why don't we just put it out? Because there's nothing really hitting around this time except for Brandy. I'm not going to compete with her. That's my girl, so I'm going to leave that alone. But we wanted to drop the record out, you know, in October. I'm looking at October 22nd. So that you're actually you're the first one getting the actual release date, because we weren't sure exactly when, but I decided to go ahead and release it October 22nd. And it's gonna be a good. I'm really excited about the record. I'm really excited.
And I assume it will be released on all of the popular outlets, iTunes,
yes.
CD Baby,
yes.
et cetera.
Oh, yes, it will be. And actually, I'm going to, the other announcement is that I'm actually going to be doing a live concert. I will keep you updated so that we can shoot that out. But the live concert will be in October, and it'll probably be around the time of the release. I'm thinking maybe a week before or the week of. We're still trying to work that out right now. But we're going to do a live concert, and hopefully a DVD recording of that. That's going to really, we're actually going to be unveiling records from this project, as well as records from maybe three records that are going to be from the upcoming project, because I have at least three albums recorded right now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I see you're not playing any games.
No, I'm in my 30s, so, you know, I'm not trying to waste any time, and I have too much music that we just kept submitting, and no one was really taking it. And the thing that we found out was that everybody was just really impressed with and loving the versions that we did, and that I did with the record. So they were just like, why don't you just put it out? So we're just going to go ahead and infiltrate the market with a couple of records that I have. That way I have some stuff to even tour with. So, you know, if I do any opening dates or end up doing a, you know, promo tour or things of that nature, we'll be able to hit, because I promise you, the tour, when it hits, what we got is going to be incredible. So I'm sure it's going to be a nice setup. I'm excited.
I can dig it. Before we get into this first track, I have to ask you about Hawaii.
Okay.
Now, I know you went, and
you know
how I felt. You know, I let you know that I was a little envious of that. But, you know, if my memory serves me correct, you said you were filming a video there.
When I went over there, I was actually a guest artist for, they do all nighters over at Hickam, over at the military base Hickam, and Hickam Air Force Base. And a friend of mine that actually is there was the one that, the funny story was, he was playing one of my records in his office, and somebody walked past his office and heard the record and was like, who was that? You know, it's one of my good friends from over, you know, over in Arizona. And he was like, you need to get him for the show. And they kept bugging him about it. So he talked to me about it. Long story short, they worked it out. We actually went over there. The plan was to do some documentary-type stuff over there while I was there. But we ended up not being able to do it. So I'm just going to chronicle it whenever I do my vlogs in the next few weeks. Because it was a very interesting, introspective, and beautiful getaway for 5 days, I'll say that.
Yeah, I'm still envious. That's cool, though. That's cool.
But you're going to go. You're going to go.
I am.
Need you to speak life into that. You're going to go. You're going to make it over there. But I promise you this. For me, I couldn't live there.
Really?
And the only reason why I couldn't live there is because when you go over there, to me, is there's such an air of vacation over there. To where, to live there, like the thing that flipped me out, milk was
$8.
$8? $8.
Wow, that's cool, because I'm weaning milk out of my diet anyway, so that would just give me incentive.
But that'll give you a whole lot, but I'm telling you, I think because everything gets shipped over there because it's an island,
right.
It's a lot more expensive. Because the prices of things were, like, I made dinner when I, the first day I got over there, my best friend actually made dinner, so I made dinner that night, but in order to make it, I had to go out and get the stuff for it. What it would have cost me here, it was double, almost double and a half over there.
Wow.
It was crazy. And then on top of that, it's just, it's a nice place to visit. I mean, I just can't see living there because I think I'd probably see everything there is to see about it and then get bored. So it's good to visit. And I actually got to see my first, I had never been to a beach ever in my life.
That was your first beach?
Time. Yeah.
But I can imagine that, especially where you're at now. I know there are no beaches at all.
That ain't nothing but tumbleweeds and desert. That's it.
Well, I mean, if you had to make it to your first beach, at least it was Hawaii, though.
Oh, my God, man. I think I posted a couple pictures on my page, and it was, I can honestly say, not to be, you know, too deep or nothing, but it was just amazing to see God at work. It was amazing to see, I had never seen water that blue before.
I feel you. Now, I mean, I've been to a few beaches, like, you know, here in the States. I've been to Miami and Daytona and all that. But the first time I ever saw water like that, like you're saying, is when I went to the Bahamas. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. You know, I walked out there because, you know, our hotel was right on the beach. And I walked out there and I looked. I was just like, I was sold. I was like, I'm never going to another beach again unless it's like this. Like, you know, beaches here in the United States can't even hold a candle anymore because of that.
Because the beach, I can't even remember the name of the beach that they took me. I can't remember the name to save my life. But the beach they took me to was one of the top 10 beaches. I think it was like in the world or something where it was, I mean, it was the most gorgeous spot ever. Because it was like you go down the street, you never would think a beach was right down this. It was like a little alleyway with sand. And when you, the closer you get to it, it opens up. And once it opens up, you see nothing but beach. You see the water rushing up. You see the rocks out further out in the water, and different spots. It it takes a lot for me to get emotional, but it almost put me there because I've never been there. And then on top of that, I'm sitting there for, 3 hours, and I think I wrote, like, 4 songs sitting there on that beach.
Yeah, that sounds like the movie.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, but I'm envious to you. You went to the Bahamas.
But you know what? I mean, to be fair, I was on my honeymoon, and I will have to say that the experience in itself was not what I envisioned my trip to an island like that to be. You know, I mean, not taking away from the experience that I had. It's just that, you know, I had it set. Like, you know, I always have this plan on what I want to do when I go to a beach like that. And I wasn't able to do it then because, you know, I was on my honeymoon. So I really couldn't, you know, have me time like that. Right. But, you know, I told myself the next time I see a beach like that, you know, I'm going to be in a position where I can do exactly what I want to do.
Okay.
And it ain't really much. You know, I just, you know, I want to sit out there, you know, in my own thoughts, and I want to write. You know, I just want to write. I want to stare at the sun, and I want to write, and just, I'm just going to keep writing until, you know, I can't see anymore. and then I'll go back, you know, I'll go back to my room, and I'll be cool.
And that's, and the wonderful thing about that is it's just people put so much stock in so many extracurricular things, and to me it's just like the simplest of things, you know, is the most incredible thing to me. Just being able to sit there and just to marvel at, you know, what God has created, to be able to marvel at a beach, to be able to just, like, it was the first time in a long time I had gotten rest because we're doing this record. The funny thing is I'm doing two records. On top of that, I'm doing a Christmas album. We're doing all of this stuff. I haven't been able to sleep. My sleep pattern has been erratic and crazy. And to go to Hawaii and to be in the midst of that, that was the most peaceful part vacation I think I have had in a long time. It was very nice. I mean, it was great to just to be there, and the weather and the people were really nice, and, you know, things that I may have heard that were not of the greatest going over there, maybe of a negative thing, I didn't experience that because I always tell people, I said, if that's what you're anticipating to happen, then 9 times out of 10 that's what's going to happen. I don't anticipate negative. I anticipate people being positive. I anticipate people being welcoming. I anticipate people being, you know, what everybody says that they're not. So when I got there, it was just so great to go, and everywhere we went to, people were looking at me like I was a celebrity, which is really weird, but it was funny. But it was fun at the same time because I had a great time over there. So it just enjoying the simplest of things to me is the best thing you could ever do. So I love this.
Indeed, indeed. But yeah, let's get into some music. And
right.
First track I'm going to play is Ready for Love. I really like that track. I mean, just the whole vibe about it is it's appropriate, you know, for the title. You know, for the song itself, it's just appropriate.
Yeah.
And, you know, before I do, though, you know, if you could be so kind as to give the audience just an idea of what this song is about.
Okay. The song is about being in a place in your life to where love has been a stranger for a long time. And through many different circumstances and situations, you just allowed yourself to be open to receive it back into your life again. And then it comes at a time that you least expect it. So when it comes, it's like I said, there's a line in the song that I say, like an old friend, you walk right into my door. So like an old friend, it's just like I'm welcoming something back in that's been gone for too long and that I need to have in my life. So it's like I'm just saying, I'm ready for love. Take up residency in my heart. I'm ready for love.
You heard it, folks. Now let's get with it. This is Ready for Love from the Love Sessions upcoming CD. And I know you guys are going to like it, so let's just get with it.
Take a breath. time would be different.
Accomplish that, you know, being that I'm not an artist myself.
I can help you with that. And how I can help you with that, it's amazing how you actually segued into that, because I actually am on another project that is out right now on iTunes. It's everywhere pretty much. The album is called Baptism by Fire, and it's by Paris Toon featuring Mother's Favorite Child.
Yes, I know.
And that record situation is exactly what you're wanting to do, because Paris actually, long story short, heard me at a session, was talking to me about music, and, you know, pretty much called me in to bring to life musically what he had written poetically. And that's the whole entire album. The whole entire album, actually, I'm co-writer on the record with him, to where my job was to come in as a writer and arranger and take his words and to see if we could take everything he's written and the pattern that he's written it in, and if I could make chorus out of it, verse out of it, bridge out of it, make a cohesive song. And if we couldn't, just take the best parts of what we could, and then me just putting a little bit of my writing skill in with it as well, and just writing some lines that would coincide with what he had written as a poet, and then we'd birth the song with that. So it went from us just doing an EP. There were going to be 6 songs, and I think it was going to be like 2 records written. 4 records were supposed to be instrumentals. It went from that, and it ballooned into a full-fledged album. So that album's been out since August of last year, and it's been doing incredibly well. It's one of the top picks on CD Baby, one of the editor picks of our CD that's been released in the last year. So I'm very proud of that effort. That was a great record to do, and I encourage you, if that's what you want to do, there's many avenues you can do that. I mean, I'm not that busy, so you have my information. If you ever want to, you know, collab on some stuff and see if we can bring some of those things to life, I'd be more than happy to do that for you, because I think that's all you with me, being that you don't sing, you still have an idea of what you want to hear from the record. So if you have somebody that's willing to come in and can help you craft a song out of what you have poetically, you got it.
You know what? And I appreciate that, because, and you know, I asked the question of every guest that I have, and you know, it's mainly because I'm always looking for the insight. But you know, you're the first person to actually ever extend an invitation like that, and so it's not like I was looking for it, but you know, being that you put it out there, you know, I'm all for it, because like that, like you said, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Just someone, you know, that's in the biz to help me, you know, make that transition, because I really think that I could, you know, I could really do it. I mean, if I could sing, or if at least I could play an instrument, you know,
right.
I would be a lot better off. But, you know, you're right. Like, that's exactly what I need. And would be taking you up on that.
But I also want to let you know as well, that's not always true, because there's sometimes, I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's some artists, and I could probably shoot off names, but there's some artists that aren't the greatest of singers. Yeah, they may be able to play an instrument, but for some reason, even though they're not the greatest of singers, they know how to craft a song better than some people that know how to sing. And a lot of times you're crafting a song, and this is the thing that I encourage, because one thing you will know about me, in this industry, I really believe and feel that we need to be more unified than what we are. I'm an encourager of working with people. And not saying that I work with everybody, but I work with who it is that, you know, I'm supposed to work with, because you can't force every working relationship. Every working relationship does not work all the time.
Right.
But I'm one that believes that, you know, I believe that we sow in what it is that we have to other people. It makes the art form even better, for one. For two, it allows and fosters a growth that you normally don't see right now. Like, even right now, I mean, I'm not to come against the industry right now, but it's just, I see any industry right now, it's just, we're missing a lot of things. And it's just, I mean, I can be materialistic or talk about money or talk about girls, talk about, you know, a lot of the things that we hear being talked about. But there's a lot of things going on in the world that are not being addressed. Because they're not being addressed governmentally, because they're not being addressed, you know, Senate-wise, in our cities and states and stuff like they need to, music has always been that one art form in life that you can count on it.
talk about social ills. You can count on it to talk about what's going wrong or what's going right, or, you know, what we can do to make things better. And I see us, we've moved away from that a lot.
Now, I could get into that. I mean, I want you to finish your statement, but, you know, I can get into my thoughts on that exact topic as to why that is. Now, because, you know, I'll put it this way. With the commodification of music, and basically, you know, for people that don't understand what that means, it's basically when you've made a commodity out of the art form. And that's what's happened. You know, you have these big record labels, they have this formula, and, you know, it's what they've proven to an extent gets record sales. And so any artist that they have under their signed to their labels, you know, they push them to put out that type of product. That type of product doesn't talk about the issues anymore. It's not like back when the Curtis Mayfields and, you know, the Osley Brothers and everybody were, you know, were out and, you know, they were talking about those issues, and they were able to put that out on record because that's what the people wanted to hear. You know, this generation, you know, they don't really want to hear that for whatever reason that may be. Or even if it's not the fact that they don't want to hear it, they're not used to hearing it for so long, they don't know anything else. And so it takes artists like yourself, independent artists that aren't bound to any type of contract like that, that have the leeway and the freedom to put out the music that they want. And if it's in that person to put out a socially conscious record, they can do that without a problem. And, you know, that being said, we definitely need a lot more of that. And that's why I've always been a staunch supporter of independent music for that reason alone, because I'm anti-industry. And, you know, anybody that's willing to, you know, to, how do I want to put it? I don't know.
Shake the system.
Exactly. Anybody that's willing to do that through their music, I'm going to support them because we need that. Like you said, we need that music out there because, you know, back in the day, that was how the message got to the people. It was through the music. And, you know, we need that more than ever because, you know, we're in a situation where, you know, everything is so against us, you know, in every facet of life, government, the food we eat, you know, the water we drink, you know, the way we live, where we live, all that stuff is so against us that, you know, people think that this is just how it is and they're not really listening to what's really going on. And, you know, and that's what we need. And, you know, I could go on that all night, but I got that. But you had actually segued into the second question that I originally wanted to ask, which was, you know, the songwriting process. How is that for you? I mean, you know, when you put it in your mind to write a song, what is it that you do? What is your process?
A lot of times, I'll be honest, I'm not putting it in my mind to write. I can use Ready for Love as a prime example. The producer, whose name is Justin James, he's on Facebook. Everybody look under Just James, J-U-S James, or also James Corp. That is his production mantle. But when he and I linked up, he had sent the record for Ready for Love, which is instrumental. And automatically, like you said, it felt good. So I at the time, I didn't know what I was going to write to it, but I told him I wanted to write something to it. And about maybe a week passed, and I was at a studio session, actually recording You Make Me Say. And he said, I'm coming over. I want to, you know, let you hear some more records, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. He said, do you have something for Ready for Love? Because he's one of those people who's very persistent. He wants, once he gives you a record, he thinks you're going to pop something out real quick. it didn't help. It didn't help my matter that I pop records out fast. So he already knew that. He'd already heard that from other different people that he worked with. So when he called me, I had just sang the melody and the chorus to Ready for Love for him. I'd already had that. But I didn't have the record written yet. So it took him about 12 minutes to get over to the studio. Do you know I wrote half of that record before he got to the studio? Once he got to the studio, I had the verse one, the pre-hook, and the chorus. didn't have a verse two, didn't have a bridge or nothing. And while he's sitting there, for some reason, he couldn't pull up the files he wanted to hear. So he's trying to figure it out. And while he's trying to figure it out, I was like, let me hurry up because I don't want him to think I didn't have nothing written up, to which I didn't. But let me see if I can come up with something. And literally, just listening to the record, hearing what I had so far, verse one, it just wrote itself. And literally, I wrote that song in about 20 minutes. And some of my best stuff seems to be when I write really fast. But there's times when I write records based off of what I see, off of a conversation. Just even as you were talking about, you know, the industry and how, you know, how we were able to be, you know, advocates for social change with music and things of that nature. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, I remember the times whenever someone would write a record or write something that talked about voting or talked about how important it was to raise your voice. So I'm automatically right here, right now, on the phone, sitting there thinking of an idea to get people voted. Because the biggest thing right now is that, you know, people are complaining about what's going on and complaining about how they don't want to see this and that happen. But you can't complain if you're not going to make your voice known and vote for the changes that you want to see. Because I always tell people, change is going to happen. Either it's going to happen by way of will, of you allowing it to happen, or it's going to force itself to happen. I don't want to be in that position where it has to force itself on. I want to be able to make that change willingly. So, I mean, just for writing purposes, I mean, it can come at any time. For me, that's just been the thing that God has blessed me with, to where I didn't think I was a writer. And I didn't start writing, actually, until about 6.5 years ago. And I only started writing because the material that was getting sent to me was stuff I would never sing. And I was like, Well, if I'm not going to sing this, what would I sing? And I think the first record that I wrote, that I actually wrote from start to finish, I wrote with two writers out of Surprise, they now live in California, I wrote I'm Him. And that was my very first foray into writing a full-fledged song. And after writing that, it just amazed me how fast that stuff came. And it just went, and then after that, it just started ballooning into more records. I would write stuff without tracks. So for me, the process for writing, it varies. I mean, I could be inspired by something. It could be something that I started. Actually, the record, I don't know if you heard it, I posted on Facebook, it's called Just One Night. I wrote that on the plane ride to Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
I was on my way to Hawaii, and I wrote this record because I heard somebody talking about how they were in love with this guy, and they knew that the guy didn't feel the same way that they felt about him. So she was just like, if I could just have one night with him, maybe it'll change his mind. If it doesn't change his mind, then I can honestly say I had it, and I can walk away. So I heard that, and I was like, that's deep. And it just kept playing with my head for about a good 2 hours into the plane ride. The plane ride was about 6 hours. And I'm sitting there, and I wrote it without a track. And literally when I got back from Hawaii about 3 weeks later, I was talking to Justin, who played this record. And literally that song idea came to life in that record. So for me, it happens. It's weird. It happens at some of the most inopportune times, but then it happens at some of the best times that I find material, especially from watching people. And I'm also one of these people to where people call me about their problems. So I'm already getting a wealth of knowledge about what to write about, and I'm able to write about it in a way to where it taps. It literally taps into the spirit of people to where they're like, how is it you're in my backyard knowing what's going on in my business and I ain't told you?
I know how that feels. That's how, at one point, it hasn't really been like that since, you know, I've kind of, you know, dove full force into doing radio, but when I was writing poetry really heavy, people would come to me just like that. People would just, you know, I'd meet people, and as soon as I tell them I was a poet, they'd be like, you know, write me a poem. And, you know, sometimes I would just have to tell them, you know, I'd be lying because I don't like being put on the spot like that. And so somebody would say that, and I'd be like, well, it's not that simple. But it really was, you know, like, one story I remember, a friend of mine came to me and, you know, she was telling me, and she was really pouring her heart out to me about an abusive relationship that she had just got out of. And, you know, she's telling me about it, and, you know, she's talking, and I'm just sitting there like, man, that's really deep. And then, you know, she said it, and I think she said it jokingly. She was like, you know, I wonder if you could write a poem about that. And we're still talking, and I'm writing the poem as we're talking. And I'm not saying anything to her that I'm writing it. And then when I was done, you know, I just read the poem to her, and she started crying right there on the phone. And then I realized, you know, just what you said, like, you know, it's like, wow, you know, just the ability to be able to take someone's story and put it on paper like that. It's
I don't take it lightly. I bless God for having that kind of a gift and ability, because even, that's funny how you're talking about that situation where I had the very same thing happen, and there's a record that I wrote, and I'm debating making that a part of the deluxe edition, but the record is called Wait For You, and it was a record that spoke about a woman that was in a situation, and it could be anybody, but in a situation to where after years of being in this relationship, knowing that this relationship was no good, one moment she's on her way to the store, and she finally comes to and says, you know what, this is somewhere I don't need to be. I have to go. And I remember saying in the second verse of the song, it says, sit down and let me say this to you. There's no need to argue about this anymore. We've said all we needed to say. In this relationship, I can no longer stay. You proved to me that you cannot change. So I don't want to wait for you. I don't want to wait for you to come back home. You've been gone away too long. I don't want to wait for you. And just coming up with that, like, it just came out so fast to where I've let a few people hear, and, you know, specifically people that I knew that were in these situations, and not preaching to them or nothing, but just wanted them to hear it, just to see what their reaction was. And the great thing about that was, after hearing that record, at least three of them were able to walk away from abusive relationships in a way that they weren't able to before. And these relationships were really bad at a point to where, you know, we were worried. And a lot of times when we try to talk to people about situations like that, they turn an ear because they look at it like, you're trying to tell me what to do. And that's not what it is. We're just trying to warn you of the inevitable. If you're not careful, this is what can happen. So for me, I thank God for the gift of song and music, because it's allowing me to put the things that people won't say into the atmosphere so that they hear it. And they get another understanding, for one. For two, they have something there that lets them know they're not the only one dealing with it, or they're not the only one going through that. And it's amazing to me how somebody can walk up to me, and I've had people walk up to me and hear certain records and say, you know, that record gave me the strength to turn everything around. That record gave me the strength to do this. I'm him. I had someone tell me, she said, I long for the day when a man finally walks up to me and says, I'm him. And I don't look at him like he's crazy. I actually take him for what he's worth. I don't, because like that record was talking about someone going after, you know, always telling me that she always tell me that she loves the kind of man that I am, but she would never go for someone like me. She would always go for somebody that's completely opposite of what it is that she says that she needs. And I'm sitting there saying in the song, why? Why would you want to waste your time with someone who will never treat you right? If you're looking for the love of your life that's one of a kind, I'm him, I'm right here. But for some reason, she'll never get that because she's chasing after something that even she don't know what she wants. And until she figures out her worth and knows what she's worth and knows what she's worthy of and knows what she should have, she's going to continue to go after what she should. We always go after the things that we shouldn't have, but we don't really know how important, how special, how beautiful, how wonderful, how spectacular, how fabulous, whatever you want to say, how great we are and what it is that we should have and what it is we need to have. Not what you want, because what you want ain't always what you need. It's always good to know what you need to have. And when you know what you need to have, it makes your decision-making a lot better and a lot simpler. So it's good. For me, I take great responsibility with being an orator of, you know, music and of lyrics, to where I'm really conscious of the fact that what I say lyrically can cause a change in the atmosphere that fast. And a lot, and I think if we get to that place, even in the industry, they don't realize how influential what they're doing in the industry right now is to people. People emulate everything they see and hear. And especially for us as a black culture, it amazes me how we're only 20 to 28% of the population We are the most influential culture on the planet. So if you have that kind of influence, my question always is to somebody, what are you doing with it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to get into another song.
Okay.
I'm about to play These Feelings because you did bring it up early. So.
Oh, okay.
I definitely want to make sure that I play that. And, you know, just like with the last song, if you could give the listeners out there just an insight as to what this song is about.
Cool.
Play.
These Feelings is a record talking about crushes. Verse one is kind of like the good angel explaining, you know, how they feel about it. Verse two is the bad angel, shall we say, that's wanting to give into that. But it's always just delving into what starts the crush, what makes the crush. How do we go from infatuation to like to love, and then realize that maybe this is something that's not good for us. And we're constantly having a battle between, you know, should I be with this person or should I not be with this person? Should I crush on them or not? And everything hinges on these feelings. So it's like, tell me, what am I going to do about these feelings? But these feelings are making it hard for me to make this right decision. So These Feelings, this will be on the brand new album, The Love Sessions, due out October 22nd. Take a listen right here.
Let's go.
Came without a warning,
like a shot in the dark.
Never thought that you would do this to my
heart.
I mean, call me crazy, but all of this started with just one glance. And the moment our eyes met, I knew it was on like that. Gotta be careful,
like it's turning you to
lead. I need to put a handle on this before it goes too far.
It could be the death of me. It could bring me to my knees.
Something that's so strong, could be right, it could be wrong. I don't know why.
Oh, man. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to say I wish I was not alone tonight. That's all I'm going to say because, yeah, that song took me to a place. Yeah, boy.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I like it.
Yeah, that was hot. That was hot.
So do you understand how I said earlier about, like, you were saying about how Ready for Love is going to be the one that it, like, that record that on the album when you hear is like, that's it. It's hard for me because even as an artist, I mean, I love just certain records I love a lot, but this album in its entirety, there's so many great records on it. It's just, for me, it's hard to pick because I didn't want to just do album fillers. I wanted an album that had the potential to have a lot of singles, you know, really infiltrate the market in a way to where you got These Feelings, which is straight up Quiet Storm. You got Ready for Love is Quiet Storm as well, Adult Contemporary. I have a record on there called Step Up that's urban, but that's also crossover potential. Love Knocked Me Out is that record that record is, that's just 90s R&B and what we loved back then, but just updated. And those two records, Step Up and Love Knocked Me Out, were produced by two gentlemen by the name of Byron Stanfield and Brandon Holland. They're out of Detroit. They go by the Stuntmen. They actually have produced records for J-Maw and Vanessa Bell Armstrong's Walking Miracle album. Project did a song called Seasons. And there's another couple artists they did. And they actually had a song on the Deep Blue Sea soundtrack years ago. But they're producers that, you know, they've been in the gospel circuit, but they have these incredible R&B records and, you know, these records outside of the gospel genre it's records that just pull on you. Because, like, I even have a record from them called Let You Go. I cannot wait for y'all to hear that record. I performed that record live in New York when I opened up for Cy Smith back in May. And that record was probably one of the most talked about records that night.
Oh, it's like that?
Oh. It's the record, I could explain pretty much shortly, that record is basically talking about me, or you as an artist. We go out, we tour, we go and do these different things, promotional tours, and go overseas, and here in the States, and we're hitting all these different people, and we're showing off our gift and giving our gift to all these different people. We're making a living for our family. And when we come home, we've given all that love out that way. So we're expecting to get the love that we give on a regular basis home to come back to us. But the moment we walk in the door, everything about what we had when we got home the last time is completely different.
Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically like the first lyric of the song says, it's cold in this house tonight. Tell me, where is that spark you had for me? The smile that used to greet me when I walked through the door isn't there anymore. And I go on to further elaborate in the song, and I look at my stop and I say, why won't you look at me? Whatever is wrong, we can make it right. Don't walk away from it. Hear what I got to say, because what we have is worth the fight. I can't let you go. Because automatically in the song, as well as in the idea of even the video, you automatically feel, because you're that in tune with your spouse, something's wrong. And you feel that you're not, if you don't do something, if you don't say something, if you don't act, the very thing that you know you should have for the rest of your life could walk out of the door because there's no communication, or you're not communicating enough, or you're not making your stance known. You're not doing things in a way as the man of the house, or even as the woman in the relationship. You're not doing things that solidifies your spouse to know that even if I walk away from you for a while to go do what I got to do with the workforce and everything else, when I come home, love will always be waiting here. When I come home, how we are is never going to change. And if it does change, or if there's an alteration in that, we need to talk to see where we're at. Because you know, and I know, that if you don't talk, if there's no conversation, if there's no communication between both parties, there's a rift that will grow deeper, farther, and wider than what it was had you just talked about it the day that it happened and not wait for you to, well, I'm tired, I'll deal with it tomorrow. No,
I always make it a point that I don't go to bed angry. I always make it a point that if I have any odds or any ills or anything of that nature that need to be taken care of, I make sure I take care of it then. If I can't take care of it then, I let it be known that there's something going on and we need to discuss this when we are able to do it. That's the biggest problem in relationships now, because look at it. People don't talk as much. We got text, we got email, we got, you know, Twitter, we got Facebook. Everybody has liquid courage and can say whatever they want to say online. But when you get in front of them, they can't even talk to you. There's something wrong with that. There's something completely wrong with that. And that's really where I came from that angle of that song with, which is basically we're not communicating enough. I think I know that my spouse is okay, but then when I get home, I automatically see there's a problem, which means I missed something. And me, I'm a fighter. I'm a fighter, especially when it comes to love. I'm going to make sure every possibility is exhausted before we decide to say we need to go our separate ways. And then there's certain things that will show itself that says you shouldn't have been at the first place if you walk. But I'm always an advocate for talking. Because I always tell people, even when you meet somebody, you want to date somebody or talk to somebody, you will know exactly who that person is within the first 30 to 40 minutes that you talk to them. Every characteristic, every trait, every issue. Me, I'm one of the people where people just, it's like word vomit. People just tell me stuff I just think I should know. But in essence, I should know it because it plays to the puzzle of who that person is. Because when you start seeing sides of them that you normally don't see, you can go back when you first had that conversation or a couple conversations with them, and you see certain things within that conversation that tells you this person has an issue with self-esteem. This person has an issue with, you know, insecurity. So they're insecure to the point where they got to know where you are. They got to do this. They got to do that. Conversation always tells you exactly who someone is. You can hide. I don't care how much you hide stuff. Your mouth will always tell what it is your heart is trying to hide.
I feel you 100%. I mean, I was just thinking about, you know, the last relationship I was in, and, you know, in hindsight, I see that we both made that mistake to an extent, you know, during different times. And, you know, not to put too much out there, but basically, you know, that's pretty much how it was. I mean, it was like, you know, even when we thought we were communicating, we actually weren't. And it wasn't until, you know, an issue came up. And then when it finally came out, it only, and truth be told, it only came out because I forced it out. And, I take responsibility for my part in that situation. But at the same time, you know, I used to tell all the time, like, you know, we already have enough against us. Like, we need to communicate. And then once somebody tells you that they're not a big communicator, that should let you know, like, it's only can go but so far, you know. Or, and I just hope, I know the things that I learned from it, and I just hope that, you know, this person, she, I don't know, you know, I hope whatever it was that we went through, you know, I hope there were some lessons learned for her to carry forward. And, you know, it is what it is, but I understand completely what that song is about.
Yeah.
And, yeah, let's see. I kind of got lost.
But that, but you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it. And that's the one thing I want the music to do. I want people to get not so much lost, but I want them to really think. I want them, and not to be deep, but I want people to really think, especially in the matters of the heart. I really want you to think on that, because people don't realize and understand. It's like, I mean, everything that I do, there's a reasoning behind it. And, I mean, I even had a record that I never got to release yet, and I'm really thinking about re-recording that record. But the record was called Show Me, and my biggest problem has always been that people will always tell me, especially women, will always say, you know, they'll get into a relationship with somebody that don't know how to love. And they'll walk away from them because they don't know how to love. But I always take it a step further. Even in that song, the song says, show me how to love you. Show me how to be everything you want and everything you need. We can't get where it is we need to get to if you don't show me. Because it's bad that you have people in the world that know what love means. They know what real love means. But because the other party doesn't, they're not willing to show what they know. And that's like, even as an artist, I say, what we have is a gift. If you look at the definition of a gift is something that is to be given. So I can't hold up the, like my brother used to tell me, he said, it's like you're slapping God in the face every day for not giving what it is that you have. Because there's people waiting on you to do what it is you're supposed to do. And, you know, even in relationships, we hold back stuff that in essence we need to give. Because I feel like I'm responsible and I'm held accountable by God that if I know the right way to go with certain aspects and don't give that as another alternative to what somebody may know, and it may not be the greatest, it may not be, they may not get the great results that they need out of it. If I don't give that to them, I'm held accountable for that. So I always charge people, if you know better, do better. And when you do better, express what you know how to do better. Because 9 times out of 10, what we think is common sense, everybody else don't. What we think is right and wrong, everybody else might not. And sometimes we need to be helpers of one another in so many different aspects of that word, that phrase. And even with music, that's why I look at it, I'm just trying to be a helper. I'm just trying to be an encourager. I'm trying to encourage people that, you know, love is available. I'm trying to encourage people that relationships are a good thing. They're not a bad thing. I'm trying to encourage people that life is not as bad as we make it. I mean, I've been through more stuff in the last, if I tell you the stuff I've been through in the 6 years that I've been here in Arizona, you would probably look at me and say, how is it that you're still alive? How is it that you're still wanting to do music? How is it that you're not dead right now? And I can honestly say, God was the main part of that that kept me alive, but also the music is what kept me moving. What was given to me to say musically kept me moving, kept me pushing. I mean, I'm the one that, you know, you want to write path when you want to give up music or you want to give up poetry every other couple of weeks. Everybody ain't going to get it.
Right.
Everybody's not going to get it when you want them to get it, but it's for you just to put it out there so that it's another piece that they have that they can pull from. Because I'm not being full of myself or anything, but it's just like I'm really excited about people hearing this record because I really want people to grasp love in a way that they should. Not in a way that, you know, that we've perpetuated and that we've done only because it was to suit our selfish needs and wants and desires. I wanted to really get to the heart of the matter so that we can, you know, be better, so we can do better. I mean, I want to know how to love somebody in the midst of a recession. I want to know how to love you whenever I'm the one out providing for the family and you're not really doing too much of anything here. Women are the same way. They want to know how to love a man in the midst of him still having thuggish ways. They want to know how to love a man in the midst of, you know, dealing with baby mama issues and all these other different things. There's so many different ways you can combat these situations. But we're so used to dealing with the negative side of how to deal with it only because it gets a rise out of somebody. I don't want to get a rise out of it. I'm a person of resolve. I like to resolve problems. And if
right.
I have to, I will put it in a song. We need to resolve what it is to be in love. We need to resolve how to be in love. We need to resolve how to stay in love. We need to resolve how to, you know, love each other. And because when you, and then on top of that, we need to, first of all, we need to love ourselves. Because if we don't love ourselves, it's just brokenness trying to love something else that could be just as broken as we are. And that's like two broken pieces not knowing what to do with themselves but to continue to be broken.
You ain't never lied. You ain't never lied. Man, I didn't even think I was going to go to church tonight, but here we are.
I promise you, I'm not even trying to thank you there, but I mean
that's what makes it good though, because I mean, you know, when the conversation is organic and it comes out, it's because it's supposed to come out. You know, I never intended on asking anything like that, but
direction. I never intended to go that direction either.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, Brother Morris, before I let you go,
okay.
I want to give you an opportunity to put anything else out there that, you know, you feel you need to put out there. Definitely let people know where they can get in contact with you, where they can find your music, you know, things of that nature. And then I am going to leave us with one last song.
Okay. If you need to reach me, I am available on Facebook. Just look under Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S, Allen, A-L-A-N. I'm also available on Twitter under @WhoIsAllenMorris. My tentative website right now, one of them is actually www.morrisallen.com. You can also reach me on Reverb Nation at reverbnation.com/Morris Allen. We're releasing the album. It's entitled The Love Session. It's 10 to 12 songs of just talking about the highs and lows of love, you know, just allowing you to have an introduction to who I am. And, you know, it's going to be a great record. I'm really proud of the record. As an independent artist, I look forward to, you know, go past what we look at as independent. I want to hit a lot of different markets. I want a lot of people to embrace this record. Really excited about the where we're going in the direction of this album. It is coming out October 22nd. It will be available on all digital outlets. We should have physical copies. It will be available as well. I will be doing a show out here in Arizona as well for it. So I thank you so much for allowing me to even have this platform as an independent artist of to which people have not even heard of me yet. So I'm thankful to God for this opportunity to be able to even share my heart when it comes to music and, you know, just who I am. And I hope you got a little bit of a glimpse of who I am through this conversation with Wayne and through this form of our radio. And I hope you guys really love the music. And I hope it does something more than what, you know, most music normally does. And, you know, I just want to encourage, just want to inspire, just want to push the envelope of things. And, you know, hopefully this will be a ride that, unlike some artists, I want to be an artist that's here for a long time. I'm not looking to make just one hit. I'm looking to be here for longevity's purpose. And hopefully with your support, I will be able to do that. So I thank you so much. I appreciate your support, your love, and everything that you said, and emails and things of that nature. I appreciate that from my heart. And just keep hitting us back, and I promise you, we'll give you exactly what it is that you need. That's a real good, feel-good music.
You know what?
For the heart. So.
I want you to stay on the line because I think someone wants to talk to you. Someone just popped on the line, area code 480, and I believe they have their hand up. It's hard to tell with the switchboard because it doesn't really have the symbol like I'm used to seeing.
Uh-huh.
So I believe that they actually want to come online. So I'm going to bring them online, and let's see who this is.
Okay.
Area code 480, you are on the Soul Sessions radio show with myself and Mr. Morris Allen.
This is a family member. I want to know where my copy of his CD is.
Who is this?
This is Paris. This is Paris. You said I ain't never called you.
Oh, my God. Okay, Dwayne, this is who I was telling you about earlier.
Oh, for real?
To whom I collaborated with and did a project by the name of Baptism by Fire. This is the poet that I was speaking about.
Oh, wow.
This is him. This is him in all his glory. I'm shocked that he's actually calling on the phone because this one acts like he just wants to be the most biggest recluse ever. But
nah,
you can't be a recluse creating what you create.
I just wanted to congratulate Morris on his record. We actually going to be recording. We got a gig, I think, in a few weeks or next week or whatever it is. But I just wanted to say I got a text that it said that you were on the air, so I said let me clown on you for a minute. But I just wanted to say congratulations and your birthday is coming up, so I know how that is. So so y'all need to get this record because it's hot. And I got some mixing to do, so I just called to say, give a shout-out and tell everybody to buy your record.
Yeah, and you better call me about that remix, sir.
Which one? Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah, I can't do that without you on it. Yes, it's happening.
Uh-huh.
So, okay,
uh-huh.
I will.
Yes,
and,
but good
show, and thank you for supporting all the indie artists, man. Doing a great
you
job.
Paris, thank
and I'll,
Paris, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome.
Thank
and
you.
I'll see you soon, Mars. And
all right, sir.
Keep up the good work. Are y'all?
All right.
Take care.
I want to get you on the show at some point. So I'm gonna
you just got me. You just got me. You just did my 15 seconds of fame just happened right now. That was it.
Oh my God.
Actually, you know what? Mother's Favorite Child's new single is about to drop, and Mars doesn't know this yet, but it's gonna be the song called it's called Numb. So we're not gonna release
wow.
it until after he releases his record because we're not gonna you know. We're not gonna take no shine or nothing. But it's a hot track. It's a hot track, and
yeah.
one of my favorite off the new Mother's Favorite Child yeah. record. But you absolutely, anytime you want to get me on the radio, you're welcome to call, and we can absolutely
Please
do that.
Do.
But once again,
Please
I want to say congrats to Morris, and I'll let
you.
You know that you you know I'm a follower of your radio blog. So keep up the good work for all the indie artists.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, and Morris, I'll see you soon because you got Nick West to do, and you also got we're not gonna say her name on here right now because that's gonna be a surprise for everybody. But we gotta
God.
Get that remix going too.
I
want
to say it, but I won't say it. I won't say it. Okay.
You won't have to, because when it comes out, everybody's gonna drop their jaw. So it'll be all good.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Thanks,
all y'all have a nice night, and you made me jealous. I want to go to Hawaii now.
You know exactly.
At first, when
I tuned in, I thought we were actually. I was like listening to a resort radio show or something. I'm like, are they talking about Hawaii? And so,
You should have knew it was me.
But I'm with you. I ain't paying no $8 for no gallon of milk, so I'm gonna have to cut some dairy out too and do some tofu or something. So. All right, y'all. Have a nice night. I got to go finish this editing this stuff. All right, take care.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care. Wow.
That's what's up right there.
Man,
you know,
we just... Yeah,
no, go ahead. You
go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's funny because stuff like that's been happening in the past few weeks. Like, you know, shows that I have scheduled where I don't really have any scheduled guests to come on and interview. And
uh-huh.
I get guests just calling on the line. So it lets me know that people are actually out there listening to the show. And, you know, that makes me feel even better because it's really hard to gauge when I'm actually on the air who's listening. You know, if you're not in the chat room or if I don't actually see the number in my switchboard, I can't really tell. Like, I have to go back later and check the numbers to see, you
right.
know, and listen to. So, you know, that's really nice. I appreciate that.
I love the show. I love the show. And I'm just excited because it's happening. The show is actually over on the East Coast, and it's like every now and then I miss the East Coast. So it's always good to have a piece of the East Coast, you know, in the midst of, you know, I love the West Coast and I love Arizona, but there's nothing like, you know, East Coast. It's nothing like, you know, the music that comes out of that area. And it's always good to hear great music, especially from the independent side as well. So I'm honored to be a part of this community. I'm honored to be a part of, you know, just such a breadth of great, incredible artists. And, you know, I'm looking to work with everybody. I'm looking to, you know, get everybody's stuff out there as well. I'm an avid supporter as well as I'm a pusher of my stuff. So if you look on my page, I'm always supporting and pushing somebody. So I'm excited. I love it.
For sure.
And I just said you let you go.
Oh, word. I got to go ahead and check my email then. Got to go ahead and do that. But, yeah, I'm going to play You Make Me Say. I'm not playing because you sent me both versions with and without the hip hop. So being that this is the Quiet Storm show, like I didn't want to play the hip hop version.
Okay.
So I'm gonna play the non hip hop version,
okay.
And you know, and we'll go ahead and do that. But before I get into that, I just want to put some things up there myself. If you are listening to this show via the archives, I thank you, and as always, I. Welcome you to tune in every Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so you can hear us live. And if you are out there, I'm actually going to go into overtime since since you know, we spend so much time with this wonderful conversation, but I want to make sure that I get the rest of my playlist out. So I'm going to go into overtime. If you want to hear that, you're going to have to call in, though. The number is 347-857-1189. You got about 4 minutes left. So, again, that number is 347-857-1189. So hurry up and get on the line so you can hear this overtime. I'll probably be spinning for another half an hour or so. So, yeah, get on in here. And Mr. Morris Allen, again, I thank you for taking time out of your busy Friday to, you know, spend some time and with us here on the Soul Sessions Radio Show. And we got to do this again.
Oh, definitely. Whenever everything drops, the other piece of information I'll say real quick, there will be a deluxe edition.
Nice.
And remixes coming as well.
Nice. Yeah, so tell everybody about You Make Me Say. And then that's how we get out of here.
You Make Me Say as a record is simply put, sometimes you find a love, you get involved with somebody that you want to tell them all the great things about them, but sometimes it's so good you can't put it into words. So it's just me saying different things about how this person makes me feel like I can fly. You know, I'm glad that, you know, they came into my life, but when I really want to say what it is I want to say, it's just like, it's just oozing. I can't really say too much because it's just, I can't put it into words sometimes and how you make me feel. So you make me say it's bad. So enjoy it. That's actually a single that is available on iTunes, CD Baby, as well as Amazon.com as well. So if you like what you hear tonight, you can go ahead and pop right into any one of those outlets and go ahead and download your copy for only 99 cents. Appreciate the love and support. Enjoy. Here it is. You Make Me Say.
Don't wanna take it.
definitely gotta like that. Definitely gotta like that one there. Yeah, so that was the brother Morris Allen, who I don't know. Hold on, because he actually is still on the line. Let's see. Let's see something. Hey, you still here?
Hello.
You still here? Okay, cool. I mean, you know, might as well.
Yeah, exactly. All right,
so there was a question that I wanted to ask. I was sitting here, now that I have you here, I didn't think I would get to ask it, so I'm trying to remember exactly what it was.
Okay.
Come on, it's going to come to me. It's going to come to me. Okay, well, let me just throw some filler questions out there.
Okay.
You know, I want to expand a little more on the influences that you said you listened to growing up. Oh, yeah, actually, that's what I wanted to ask you. How do you feel the influences that you had growing up, you know, because I know you said that they helped shape the music that you make, but how was, you know, could you expand on that a little bit?
Well, how I can expand on that is this. My background foundationally is gospel.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different gospel greats that I was able to listen to and, you know, glean from and, you know, pretty much, you know, pick up a lot of different things vocally and musically. But when I got older, a little bit older, my dad, like I was saying before, really put me on to music that I normally don't listen to, which was like a lot of Donny Hathaway and Marvin Gaye and Stevie Wonder and Earth, Wind & Fire. And, you know, the older I got, it became more than just vocal. It became understanding music and understanding melody and understanding, you know, what chord structures do. I don't play, but I get a lot of musicians that think I play because of the way I think. And a lot of that is attributed to the influence of different styles of music that I listen to. I mean, I'm listening to things as far and wide as the Manhattan Transfer and Take Six and Luciano Pavarotti and Ofra Haza, if people know who that is. She's actually a singer that, you know, I believe it's an Arabic style of music, but just the way they do music and the way they pick notes and things of that nature that piqued my ear. I mean, all as far down to even countries, but it's just like I'm versed in so many different styles and forms of music to where in some way, shape, or form, it dictated and helped to even establish what I do musically and vocally as an artist. So it's just, I mean, music influences that, you know, life influences it, you know, there's things that I couldn't do or that I could do now at the age that I'm at now that I couldn't do 5, 6, 7 years ago. And that's just attributed to growth to where I'm, you know, I studied a lot more jazz stuff and a lot more, you know, classical stuff. So music has always shaped what I've done, but music has also been, it's very cliche to say, but it's true. Music has been the soundtrack of my life. Where I can remember where I was when I heard certain records. I remember what that record did to me. I remember how I would hear something and it would cause a chill. Or the first time I heard, you know, Rock With You from Michael Jackson, how I felt about that. You know, just different things. It's just a lot of different styles and forms have shaped who I am as an artist. And I primarily do R&B as a vocalist, but there's a jazz record in me. There's a couple jazz records in me, actually. There's classical record in me, there's some rock stuff in me, there's some pop stuff in me. I mean, even the catalog of stuff that I've written 5 to 6 different genres of music. So music has always shaped who I am now.
Yeah, I can see that too. I can see that. And you know, you brought up Rock With You. It just made me think, I don't know if you're aware of who Kenny Wesley is, but he has a rendition of Rock With You.
I heard it.
Oh, you've heard? Oh, man, I love that.
I heard it.
I love that.
I heard it, and it flipped me because I didn't know who Kenny Wesley was at first. And I wasn't introduced to him until beginning of this year. And I was sent, actually, it was that song. It was that link. It was on YouTube, actually. And I heard that version of Rock With You, and I'm going to be honest. I couldn't watch the whole thing. And the reason why I couldn't watch the whole thing was because he was so incredible just in the way he attacked a
right.
Michael Jackson record. And it was just like, before I could get to the second verse, I had to hit pause. And I had to walk away from it. I walked away from it. I didn't listen to the rest of it for about maybe 3-4 hours.
Wow.
And when I finally came back, and then I listened, I went back from to the beginning, and I listened to it from beginning to end. And Kenny's just one of those artists to where I didn't know who he was at first, but now I'm starting to become really versed in who he was because that one video made such an impression to where I had to know who he was. He's actually one of the people that's on my list to where he may not be known like Michael Jackson was or like Whitney Houston was and these different ones that we, you know, that we've lost actually. But Kenny to me is probably one of my top 4 favorite vocalists right now.
I'm gonna put you on to another song that he does. It's I don't know if you ever heard of Kibo Music.
What's it called?
I'm assuming they're producers. I don't know much about them exactly. Kibo Music, K-E-B-O Music. I'm assuming they're producers. But they have an EP out called The Soul Prototype. And they have a track on there with him called I'm Still Here. And, like, when you hear that, it's just like, I mean, it's just so smooth. And that was the first time I had heard of Kenny Wesley. And, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to it. And I'm like, I'm still here, you know. And I'm not going to try to sing it, but, you know. And I was just like, the song is so smooth. And it's just like, man, who is this guy singing it? Like, and all the tracks on the EP are pretty dope. But that one's my favorite.
Wow.
And, you know, when I heard.
Check that out.
Yeah, the group. Like I said, I assume they're producers. They go by the name of Kibo Music. It might be a label. I'm not sure, but just from the way that this was presented, they sound like producers. And, you know, it's a 5-track EP. That's track number 2. It's called I'm Still Here. You can probably find it on YouTube.
Okay.
And, yeah, you got to
Are they on iTunes?
I believe so. Hold on. Let me go check.
Found it. It just popped up in my thing. It's Kibo Music. I'm Still Here featuring Kenny Wesley.
Yeah, that's it. You got to check that out. That's a nice cut.
Thank you. I always love whenever somebody gives me, you know, a new artist. It's funny. When I went over to Hawaii, I actually got interviewed at a radio station over there the island of Honolulu. And they played a record for me from Anthony Hamilton's wife, Tarshay Hamilton. Wow.
Say that again.
Tarshay Hamilton, Anthony Hamilton's wife. She released an album called The McMillan Story. And Tarshay's more of gospel or what you would call urban inspirational. But he's playing all these R&B records, you know, from years ago as well as stuff and now. And he put this record in there. And the DJ's name is Benny James. He's actually from England. And he lives over here in the States. And he's about to move over to Jersey. He's about to be on the East Coast in the next few months. But he put me onto this song at the interview that I did, and I left out of there, and I literally on my phone, I downloaded that song because the song just stuck with me. And that's the thing that I love about music, where it's any form, it's any style, it's any, you know, genre. To me, I'm an orator of good music. If it's good and if it says something and if it's, you know, there's nothing that's against or anything that's against what I normally do or what I would listen to, I welcome it. And that's another influence. Because even Kenny Wesley, just listening to him, it's made me want to attack what I do vocally in a different way now. And that's the great thing. Because it's like I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, it's amazing to me how we have the power to change stuff with what we do musically. I can give you a prime example. And some people may argue this, but this is a true point. Kim Burrell, when she dropped the Everlasting Life album, this is a gospel album, back in 1998, that chick changed how people attack music vocally with one album. And not only vocally, but musically. A producer's name is Alexander Asaph Ward. When he produced that record, along with Doobie Powell that's on there as well, they changed how it was attacked musically.
And I said to myself, I said, if God ever allowed me the opportunity to create music, let me be able to create music that's not just what everybody else does, but it's an advocate of changing the bar and setting the bar high. Because if you think about it now, I don't know who's going to be the heir apparent to what we were used to music with. We lost Whitney, which was probably one of the greatest losses vocally. As a vocalist to me, she will always be the voice to me. But we lost her. We lost Michael Jackson. We lost so many different people in the last, what, 3 to 5 years.
I know.
And I'm sorry to say, sadly, I don't know of any artist yet. And, you know, I love Beyonce. I love Alicia Keys. I love these different ones that are out. But I'm sorry, I don't know of any artist right now that has that magnitude of influence, that magnitude of musicality that changed the face of music. We remember where we were when we first heard You Give Good Love from Whitney. We remember where we were when we first heard Michael, even Michael when he was 9. I don't care what people say about him. Michael was the biggest example of somebody that God bestowed anointing, gift, and talent into one person. What 9-year-old has that kind of control, that kind of range, and that kind of ability at that age?
Right.
It's more than just something taught. That was a gift put in that child. And it magnified itself to where even after he died, you got kids that are between the ages of 4 and 10 now who never knew who Michael was. You put one record on to them, they're hooked. That's the power I'm talking about with you. I'm not talking about a downloadable ringtone single that's going to be popular and sell 2-3 million records, and then you fade from obscurity. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a record that's timeless, that's classic, that the moment you hear it, you know you'll hear that thing 30 to 40 to 50 to 70 to 100 years later. It's still relevant.
Still
and
relevant.
I need, that's what I need to hear. And I felt to my, I thought to myself, if I'm not hearing it, then God, you got to allow me the opportunity to put that in there. We have to have the opportunity and a position to place that in there, because I'm looking at it as the stuff I'm doing, yeah, it's great that if it hits 1,000 or 2 here and there, I want to hit more because I'm trying to say something. I'm trying to say something that I know in my heart that other people want to hear, but because of the noise of everything else, they're not able to. So in some way, shape, or form, because of your radio show, because of, you know, a lot of different radio shows that will allow people like us to come in, somebody's going to hear this. And it's going to travel in ways that it just, to me, it amazes me how fast music travels, how you can be a relative nobody. And stuff, like a song, like, I don't know if you know it, you've heard this song, but it's popular. The artist's name is Gotye, G-O-T-Y-E, and the song's called Somebody That I Used to Know. That song went from relative obscurity to being downloaded 500,000 times a week.
What's the name
a
again?
A week. The artist's name is Gotye. It's G-O-T-Y-E. And I believe the featured artist on her name is Kimbra. But it's a pop record. But even with it being a pop record, it's so against the norm of what you hear. And even lyrically, it's talking about stuff that people can connect. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I connect with. I connect with everything that just allows me to even expand and get better as an artist and as a writer and as a person. I look at the grand scale of things. So I try not to be deep, but that's just who I am. That's, you know, that's how I'm made up. So I love stuff that challenges me. And it's like I hear that and I'm influenced by what he did as an artist and as a writer to where it's influenced what I do, to where there's records to where you may hear the influence of that song in it. And this is stuff that's going to be coming out, you know, probably within the next 2 or 3 years. Because, I'm letting a little secret out, but I really right now have at least, I have at least maybe close to 400 songs in my catalog right now, people have not heard yet.
Wow.
And that's within the last 6 years.
That's deep.
Because there's always, like, I heard Marvin Winans say this in the song, everything you touch is a song. And that's so true.
Yeah, I'm I'm looking for, I was thinking about, you know, what you were saying about the songwriting, and I'm actually looking for this one, hold on, where is it? It's a poem that I wrote that I really want, you know, you to take a look at and see what you can do with it.
Okay.
And as soon as I can figure out which one it is, I got so many. My catalog of poems is probably like half of your songs, but you know, so I mean, I have stuff that I need to go through, but
it sounds like you do.
Oh man, which one is it? Hold on, I got like two different folders here. Let's see here. No, it's not this one. It's wait a minute. Is it in this one? Yeah, here it is. Here it is. I wrote this one. Actually, I wrote this one some time ago. As soon as it wants to open the file, I actually read the poem to you. And then, you know, if you feel like you can do something with it, I'll send it to you. And,
okay.
You know, but yeah, I'm serious. Like, I mean, I feel like, you know, you just opened the window for me, so I definitely want to take advantage of the opportunity, because I mean, it's always been, you know, one of my dreams. I have two distinct, you know, dreams that I'm trying to make into short-term goals. One is to, you know, put myself out there and become, you know, available to the industry as a songwriter, and also I am in the process of teaching myself to actually DJ on the ones and twos, you know, because I do this on the internet. Everybody tends to think I'm a DJ anyway. And so I figure, why not? You know, why not?
Might as well.
All right. Yeah, I got it open now. All right, this poem I wrote is called A Different Way Inside. It's basically about, It's about going through a relationship, and, you know, it's affected you to the point where you feel like, you know, when it ends, you feel like you should respond a certain way, but you don't. And it's kind of not knowing what it is you're actually feeling. You know, it's just kind of, you feel something, you know, and you realize that, you know, you don't feel like you think you should feel. And, you know, it's just, you don't exactly know what it is. And I'll read this. It's, it hurt me when you said you'd leave. I imagine wiping tears from my sleeve, but I can't cry, so I grieve a different way inside. I remember checking out the books you'd read, trying to understand you. It's something that I need. Wanting so bad for you to just let me, or excuse me, to just get me, has left me feeling a different way inside. I'll take with me the memories, the good, the bad, the in-between. I have given enough of me, enough to be a different way inside. When you're gone, always believe. I don't blame you for everything. I love you, but we're not ready, so I leave a different way inside. I don't know what is that? Sounds like I should just send this to you, huh?
No, you send it to me, because the funny thing, I'm human, because this, I mean, that's why I love art form, because, oh my God, I have to find that song, because it, what you talked about, and reminiscent of a song, and I'm trying to remember everything about the song, but there was a line that you said that just reminded me of the song that I was working on. But that, man, that, oh wow, like I'm at a loss right now. That's something that actually, if constituted right and if done right, literally is a song that would hit a lot of people in the head. A lot of people go through that. A lot of, and that's the good thing about
what it is you just presented and what we all present as, you know, as musicians and artists. We have things that even though we write it from our perspective, it's still at the end of the day a perspective that someone can connect with. Because I can be honest, I mean, everything that I do is not going to be for everybody. Everything you do is not going to be for everybody. Every form of music that's out has its people that it's supposed to connect with. But there's always sometimes someone comes along that's able to tap in to the human condition in such a way to where it crosses past what just one certain genre should do. Because even with that, I mean, even with that, you can end up doing that in a way to where it's like, I mean, it's just music and you spit that over music.
That's what I originally wanted to do. Like, the way that I had it in my mind when I first wrote this was for, like, when you get to the point where it says a different way inside, you know, someone's actually, the idea was for, you can hear someone singing the words that I'm reciting in the background, and then when it gets to the part where it says a different way inside, then I kind of drop out and you can just hear them, you know, singing that a different way inside. And then, you know, there might be a slight pause and then, you know, I come back in, spit the next, you know, verse and, you know, go like that. But, you know, I put this one to the side particularly because, you know, when I started thinking that I would like to, you know, be a songwriter, this was one of the first poems that popped out. Like, I think this is the one that, you know, I can really do something with.
Wow.
And, you know, I just kind of kept it to the side. You know, I have a few that I've already kind of looked at, and just like I said, I pushed that one to the side. And then the intention was to go through the rest of them and see which ones I could drag out. But, you know, towards the latter years of me writing poetry, you know, I tended to write stuff a little more social. And so I never looked at those as songs. You know, I really looked at those as, you know, statements of fact. You know, the type of poet that I am, like, I like to tell stories and stuff like that. And so, you know, I kind of went off on that for a while. So I never looked at those as songs. So, you know, a lot of my older stuff, like, you know, even stuff that I wrote back when I was in high school, you know, those are the ones that could be songs because I wrote a lot of love poems then, you know, a lot of heartfelt, touchy-feely poems.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, this was actually, I wrote this in 2006, but, I definitely want to send you that. And, you know,
isn't it amazing how the ones that are older become even more relevant years later?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
But
please do send that. I would love to see what, you know, see if we can come up with that. I would love to just take a stab at it, see what happens with it.
All right, no doubt. As a matter of fact, I will send you this as soon as I get off the air.
All right.
Yeah, that being said, I actually am going to let you go this time because
I do
want to finish out my playlist.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I should probably be able to get this playlist out in about another 10 minutes or so, so I'll go ahead and do that. But, I'll definitely be keeping in touch with you on that, and I'll send this to you as soon as I get off the air. And, thank you. Thank you for, you know, hanging out the extended conversation. And, definitely, you got to come back.
You got my information. Anytime that I can hit you guys up, anytime that I can call in, anytime that I can, you know, show my support, please let me know. I will do that, definitely. I appreciate it.
For sure. All right, brother. It's been real.
All right. It's been great. Thank you so much, Joy.
No doubt. Yes, you guys just got a treat. I wasn't expecting that, but, you know, that's how it is when you do something organic. And so that being said, I definitely want to try to get the rest of this playlist out. And for you guys listening in the archives, That was for you. And this is for you. Where was I? Oh, yeah, lost track for a minute. All right, this is for you.
You're my web of confusion. Why can't you make me sad for a while? Do you know a solution? I don't wanna lose your smile.
Yeah. Oh. But you know one thing, you're the sweetest thing that I ever known. And I just want you to know how much I love you. To be honest, I know I'm going to make mistakes from time to time, but one mistake I'll never make is how much I love you, how much I care for you. Loving you, babe, it comes easy to me, 'cause you're everything, baby, everything that I need. Ain't nobody like you,
girl, you're so fine,
yeah. And nobody, oh baby, you,
oh baby, you
are my sweet thing,
you're my sweet thing.
No one but you,
no
babe,
one but you
are my sweet thing,
you're my sweet thing.
Girl, I love you,
girl,
yeah.
You're my sweet thing.
You're my sweet thing.
Sweet thing.
Didn't you know, baby? When I would say, never wanted to hear. See,
it's just like making love, baby.
Making love, baby.
Over and over again.
Over again.
Like you,
girl.
You're sweet and wonderful.
Mm.